Do you realize that if God were to withdraw his goodness and mercy for one day, for 1 hour, for one moment, we could not live?
Have you become so familiar with God's blessings that you take them for granted instead of thanking him for them? Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Welcome to this edition of The Tide. Whether we realize it or not, we are totally dependent upon God for everything that we have. The fact that God freely provides our needs is something we should continually be thankful for. On today's broadcast, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger concludes his series, Growing in Gratitude, by giving us some practical tips on how to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And we'll get started in just a few moments. First, though, let's join Dwayne for some opening thoughts. Dwayne, relationships often break down because of a lack of appreciation. Divorces are often the result of the husband and wife not feeling appreciated. People change jobs because they don't feel appreciated by their employers. How does our ability to express gratitude affect our relationship with God?
Dave, I think our ingratitude can become a cork in the conduit that literally clogs the spout where God's glory comes out. It just begins to stop the perspective that we have of God's blessings, and we stop thanking him, and we begin to pull away from him. And anytime we stop pulling away from God, we are limiting the blessings that come to us from God. It's not his fault. He longs to bless his children. He wants to lavish his goodness out on us. But we are the ones who begin to stop that because of our ingratitude. And we see that throughout Scripture. We see that throughout history in the cultures that become ungrateful to God and got caught up in selfishness. I believe that God withholds his blessings from ungrateful people.
What would you say is the greatest cause of ingratitude?
Dave, I'm not sure that I can point to one specific thing. There are several things that come to my mind as soon as you ask me that question. There are things like self-centeredness, pity, pride. I think perhaps another one would be the lack of teaching in a person's life. If you're not taught to appreciate, you tend to go through life being a taker. You just always want things. You want more. There's no satisfaction. And I think that is something that has to be taught to our children as they're growing up, to appreciate what they have, to not always be given everything they want. I think in an affluent society like we've become in America, we have developed that attitude of ingratitude because we always want more. We're never satisfied with what we have. One of the things I think perhaps could be a cause of ingratitude is literally the failure to stop and think. Gratitude doesn't happen automatically. It is a choice. It's a decision that we make. And so in a fast-paced world, in our society where things are just going 70 miles an hour all the time, we're not thinking about what blessings have come into our life. We're only thinking about the next things we need to be able to survive. So sometimes we need to just pull away from the rush of life and count our blessings. And I think of the old hymn that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done."
Want to learn how to improve your relationship with God and those around you? Then stay tuned right now for the conclusion of Dwayne's series, Growing in Gratitude.
I don't know if you've looked at it lately, but I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and look at verse 21. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Do you understand the significance of our need to give thanks? He's suggesting here, no, let me be stronger. He is saying here that if we fail to give thanks, our foolish hearts will be darkened. We will become hardened to the blessings of God. We will basically turn away from God and go into darkness. I want you to look now, picking up at verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. Do you see the opposite of thanksgiving is greed and depravity? They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decrees, that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go there. In other words, if I don't want to go there, I need to begin to live in an attitude of gratitude. Did you see what verse 21 said? For although they knew God, they neither glorified God nor gave Him thanks. And as a result of that, they went into this great darkness and depravity of sin. Do you understand? Well, you see, what we need to recognize that in fact, Satan is working against us so that we won't be thankful. It is a tactic of warfare. What I want you to understand is how we do battle in this spiritual war is to begin to give thanks. As we begin to give thanks and praise, the enemy is defeated. He cannot bring his darkness because we're looking at the one who is light. As we're giving Him praise, we begin to recognize all the blessings and we're thanking God for the blessings and we don't see the things, you know, that Satan is trying to get us to look at. You don't have this, you don't have that, because we're thanking Him for what we do have. Francis Schaeffer once said, the beginning of men's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. Do you realize that if God were to withdraw His goodness and mercy for one day, for one hour, for one moment, we could not live? If it were not for God's protection over us, for Him granting us His guarding angels, we would be destroyed in an instant. So we need to consider His daily blessings. In his book, Who Really Gives Thanks?, Friedrich Bollnow wrote, "There is hardly any other quality of man that is so suited to reveal the state of his inner spiritual and moral health as his capacity to be grateful. There is hardly any other quality of man that is so suited to reveal the state of his inner spiritual and moral health as his capacity to be grateful." The daily bread, I don't know how many of you use the daily bread for your devotional. But I will look to those quite frequently. And the Daily Bread said, "Giving thanks is a course from which we never graduate." Right? It's something we've got to be in schooling for all of our lives, to learn to be more thankful, learn to be more thankful, learn to be more thankful. I'd like to talk to you as we wrap up this morning about several things in generating an attitude of gratitude. Number one, give thanks independent of your feelings. We may not feel like giving thanks, but give thanks independent of your feelings. Our hearts, honestly, can become cold, but words of thanks can be like sparks that rekindle a spiritual fire that helps us desire to live for God. You know, our feelings do nothing to change the reality of our omnipotent, sovereign God. Amen? So regardless of our feeling, regardless of our circumstances, He is still worthy of our praise. Give thanks regardless or independent of your feelings. By the way, the Bible repeatedly commands us to give thanks. For the believer, it is not an option. If we want to obey the Lord, we are to give Him thanks. So give thanks independent of your feelings. Number two, give thanks for ordinary things. Ordinary things. Have you recently thanked the Lord for feelings in your fingers? Your nose, your toes? Have you stopped to give Him thanks that you can hear? You see, often we don't realize how grateful we should be until we miss it, until we lose it, until suddenly your hearing starts to go, or your sight, or your ability to get up and get around, you know, whatever. Suddenly we don't realize how thankful we should be. So start being thankful for the ordinary things. It's going to help us slow down and begin to analyze. Lord, thank you that I can get up out of my bed. I can walk and go into the hospital or go into an elderly care center and begin looking at the loss. Go into a place where people have lost limbs and it doesn't take very long. If you need to develop an attitude of gratitude, go to the hospital. Go to some nursing care center. It'll change your attitude pretty quick. In Mexico, there was a place where hot springs and cold springs came out of the ground side by side. With this convenience, the women of that area would bring their clothes to do their laundry there. And they would wash them in the hot springs and really work them, and then they would, you know, do them in the cold springs. And a visitor, a tourist, was there watching them do this. And the tourist said, oh, these ladies must be very grateful that they have the hot and cold water side by side. They don't have to go to different areas. The person who was giving the tour said, oh, senor, that is not so. They are constantly grumbling because they don't get soap. Oh my goodness, when I read that, I thought that is us. That is us. We've got so many things right at our hands, and what do we end up doing? Grumbling that we don't have something else. Number three, give thanks for the little hidden blessings. Give thanks for the little hidden blessings. Colossians 4:2 says, be watchful and thankful. Now, we must keep ourselves alert to notice and give thanks to God even for the little things in life. An unknown person said, he who can give thanks for little will always have enough. He who can give thanks for a little will always have enough. I'm thinking of the illustration of this man who, and I don't remember all the details, but he was a man after God's heart, and he was making an impact in his community. He had virtually nothing in his apartment. Nothing. He sat down to eat, and as was his practice, he bowed his head to give thanks. It was a bowl of rice. He said, all this? And Jesus too? Thank you, Lord! What an attitude. Number four, give thanks in your problems, in the midst of your adversity. Giving thanks in our hardships demonstrates that we have faith in God that will see us through. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Are you giving thanks in the middle of ALL circumstances? It's a challenge, isn't it? Number five, give thanks for God's word and his promises. Do you realize how blessed you are to have a Bible? In our trip to Romania in the spring of 1990, I think I told you this before, as we were going in to have some crusades and meetings the first time in that country for some 70, 80 years because they were under communism. And unbeknown to us, a shipment of Bibles arrived from PTL. They were sending Bibles into the country. And when they got there, the authorities didn't know what to do with them. And because we were as Americans coming there to share the gospel, they gave us these boxes and boxes of Bibles. Praise God. Just happened to happen. So we took them with us to the Crusades. And after preaching and inviting people to come to Christ, we told them we had Bibles to give them. If they would simply come forward, we'd give them a Bible. Oh my goodness. Have you ever been to a pond where there are a lot of hungry fish and you have some bread? And you toss in the bread, and there's a swirl, and there's fighting for this bread. That's what I visualized as I watched these people trying to get these Bibles. They were pressing each other out of the way. I mean, literally trying to knock each other down to get through the crowd, to get a Bible. Women carrying children were like soldiers. We were taken to somebody's home after that. And we were talking about the significance of being given Bibles. And they were saying, oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. This is great gift. They said, all we have had is one page of the Bible at a time. One page. And when we get it, we find paper and something to write, and we copy down from that page what that is. And then when we've done that, we pass it on. How many do you have in your shelf? Give thanks to God for His Word. It is our hope. It is our only hope. Give thanks to God. Number six, give thanks at specific times during the day. Do you have a practice of giving God thanks on a regular basis, habitually? For example, in the Old Testament, we are told that they gave thanks morning and in the evening. It was part of their spiritual discipline. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. It was his practice. Even when he was warned not to pray to any other god, he still knelt and gave thanks to God. So consider adopting specific times of the day. Maybe at the end of your day, maybe at the beginning of your day, maybe at your lunch break. Certainly over our meals. Whether at home, in our houses, or in a restaurant, we should be bowing our heads to give thanks. I am concerned when our faith is so weak that we're embarrassed to give thanks to God in public. It has really encouraged me when we've been in the restaurant and we see somebody else. As a matter of fact, we try to make it a practice that when we see it, we get over and we thank them for bowing their head and giving thanks to God. It just strengthens the body. It just makes you feel good. I'm part of them. Number seven, give thanks publicly and corporately. We can provide great encouragement to other believers when we testify to God's goodness in our lives. When others give thanks publicly, we are made to realize what God has done in our lives as well. Have you found that to be true? When you hear somebody else give testimony, you also are encouraged to recognize what God's been doing in your life. David understood the importance of this when he said in Psalm 35:18, he said, "I will give thanks in the great assembly among the throngs of people." Now, was he saying that because he wanted to be proud? Because he wanted other people to see him as being spiritual? No. He understood the impact of praising God publicly and corporately. It wasn't about him. It was about him. And others' eyes would be turned to him when he turned their eyes to him by giving him thanks. The power of personal testimony. Even Jesus thanked the Father for hearing his prayer for Lazarus. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said the words out loud for the benefit of those who were gathered outside the tomb. In John 11:41 and 42, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe. I said this, thank you, Father, for the benefit of these people so they would believe." Sometimes I think we're way behind in our public testimonies. Right? Number eight, give thanks by fasting from something that you take for granted. Give thanks by fasting from something that you take for granted. You see, the purpose of this is this. Familiarity breeds contempt. I don't want to have contempt in my life. That's an ugly thing. So maybe we ought to forego something that we normally enjoy and often take for granted so that the next time we partake of it, we'll have a new attitude of gratitude for it. That is, in fact, part of why we fast from food. Why we maybe should fast from television. Why we should fast from, you fill in the blank. Desserts or whatever. You see, giving up eating for a day. Maybe at your next meal, you'll be amazed at how grateful you are for it. Maybe you ought to, instead of turning on the faucet at your sink in your bathroom or kitchen, you ought to go looking for a stream to get some for once. Wouldn't you be thankful the next time you went to your sink and turned it on if you had to go find it for a while? Maybe you ought to try walking somewhere instead of getting in your vehicle. Would that not create a greater thankful attitude for your vehicle? Maybe you ought to sleep on the floor for a couple nights. Are you understanding the perspective here? We take these things for granted and are not thankful for them. Number nine, give thanks to God by giving generously to others. You see, giving to others is a concrete way to show your gratitude to God. It also leads others to give thanks to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, it says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." Do you see that? They were giving generously, and as a result, those who were receiving were giving thanks to God. So I want you to understand that giving generates giving thanks. Number 10, give thanks by keeping a record of God's faithfulness. I was going to bring it this morning and I forgot, but I've brought it in the past and I've showed you that we have a book, a journal as a family. It's called Our Gratitude Book. And we try to write in there things that God has been putting into our lives just to record it, to be able to say thank you. Now, part of the entry is simply a discipline. You know, you have to make yourself do it. But the power of that little tool is the ability to go back weeks, months, even years later and remember what God has been doing in His goodness, which generates then an attitude of gratitude. If we cultivate and grow in gratitude, we will be able to overcome the temptation to turn our back on God. I want you to understand that gratitude, gratefulness, giving thanks is a part of spiritual warfare. I am calling you to be like the Samaritan in this story and to be quick to run back to the Lord, throw yourself at His feet, and give Him thanks and praise and celebrate His blessings in your life. The greatest saint in the world is he who is most thankful to God and continually ready to give Him praise. Be on your lookout for blessings. The more you look for them, the more you will see them. Blessings will brighten when you count them. Better to lose count while counting your blessings than to lose blessings because of failing to count. Demonstrate gratitude to others, but don't demand gratitude from others.
Have you been counting your blessings? Remember, if you want to grow in gratitude, you need to keep your focus on all the things that you can be grateful for and who you have to thank for them. Now, for some final thoughts about gratitude, let's join our director, Don Schenk, who's in the studio with Duane.
Another thing that I think is very important for us to keep in mind is that developing this attitude of gratitude is really a cooperative effort between God working in our lives and us responding. And Duane, I know that you've shared before, one of the things that you do with your family is you keep, you call it a gratitude book?
Yes, I call it our gratitude book. And the reason we try to keep that is because our human tendency is to forget God's goodness and His blessings. And I want to encourage our audience today, if you're listening, I want to encourage you to start writing in a journal of some sort the blessings and the answers to prayer that you see, because it will become a source of encouragement to you to go back later and realize that God, in fact, did hear and answer your prayer.
I think, Duane, that's a wonderful idea. And it's a way of teaching your children to be grateful and to develop that attitude of gratitude. And it's something that I believe is scriptural. Because if you go to the Old Testament, you'll find Moses telling the Israelites not only to take these commandments and to teach them to the children, but later you'll hear him talking when they're going into the Promised Land. He says, tell your children what God has done for you.
That's right.
They didn't see what happened in Egypt. They didn't see the way God led you through and up to this point. You know, tell your children. And I think that, in a sense, he's telling them, teach them to be grateful.
I think along with that thought, Don, it's good for us as moms and dads, when we're having our family devotions, or even at the table when we're giving thanks for the food, just to take time to thank God for the simple little things of life. Whether it's, of course we're thanking God for the food, but thank God for the stove, the oven that
right.
we could make the food. Thank God for the income, the job, the physical health that we could earn money. Thank God for the market where we could go get the groceries. You see, if you start thinking in and being grateful, it just begins to expand, and suddenly you realize, wow, God is really good.
Mm-hmm. He is good. And Duane, now I don't want to cut you off here too short, but I do want to tell our listeners or give them a bit of an update on our ministry in India. I'd mentioned earlier in the year that we are working at expanding that into Nepal. Nepal is another country where it's difficult for Christians to live and express their faith. It's not illegal, although Nepal is actually a Hindu kingdom. The government officially embraces Hinduism as their religion. They do allow Christianity to exist, but no one is allowed to go in and try to convert anyone. It's illegal to proselytize. Mm. And there are many people there who are not hearing the gospel. That's why we want to open up and reach out from our broadcast in India. Open that. We are already sending our Hindi language broadcast into Nepal. We now want to broadcast in the Nepali language. We're working on putting that broadcast together, getting that on the air to reach into those people. And in addition to that, we recognize that there are many similar conditions, as I mentioned, in Nepal as India. One of those is that not everyone has a radio. I know that's hard for us to understand here, where we get in the car, turn on the radio, probably have several radios in our homes.
But, and also our workplaces, we right. have a radio playing.
Right. And so we want to also extend our Radios for India project into Nepal so that we can provide that. And let me just share a letter that came out of India, which kind of emphasizes this fact. Someone wrote, "My friends and I love to listen to the Epakatanju program," and that's our Kwi language program in India. "Through this program, we have drawn closer to God and also to one another. Now we've learned the secret of leading a true Christian life, which would be a witness to many. Thanks for sharing the truth of the Bible through your radio messages. Please continue to pray for me and my friends that we will obey the commandments of the Lord and would follow him always." We get a lot of letters where people refer to listening together to the radio. And that's very much a part of village life in India. If someone has a radio, they often have an asset that other people want to come and have the opportunity to listen to that. So that's why we want to get radios into the hands of people so that they can actually listen to our programs.
Broadcasting the gospel into Nepal is a natural and logical extension of our radio ministry in India. Radio is a very cost-effective method for reaching people in Nepal. The only drawback is that those who don't own radios may never have the opportunity to hear the good news that we're broadcasting. That's why we're extending our Radios for India project to include Nepal. Now, to find out more about how you can provide shortwave radios so spiritually hungry people in Nepal can hear about Jesus Christ, call us today, toll-free, 1-877-859-5484. Again, that's 1-877-859-5484. Now, as always, today's program, Growing in Gratitude, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy, call us and ask for tape or CD number 0418. Or you can send your request to us at The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. For information about The Tide or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, have you ever taken the time to think about the people who have been the most influential in your life? Chances are, if you were to name them, your mother would be near the top of that list. Come and join us next week, won't you, for a special tribute to mothers. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide. Thank you.